Breadbox Media Programming is brought to you by Celebrate Our God-Given Freedom and Faith While Honoring Our Blessed Mother with Ghirelli's USA Rosary. Each state is represented on this rosary's 50 beads. Red, white, and blue enamel adorn its patriotic crucifix. Get yours today. Shop www.ghirelli.com. Introducing the redesigned CatholicSingles.com, featuring new ways that put the spotlight on the person and their faith, not just a profile picture. For the past 20 years, faithful Catholics have used CatholicSingles.com, and the reimagined CatholicSingles.com website is ready to help single Catholics take the next step in sharing meaningful relationships with other faithful Catholics. Remember, CatholicSingles.com for faith, fellowship, and love.
Warning, the Catholic Man Show contains high levels of manliness. If you think you may be too weak to withstand the manliness represented in the following program, please do yourself a favor and stop listening now. If you choose to continue in spite of this warning, if at any time you feel yourself overcome by the manliness, stop immediately and consult your closest medical professional. And now, for the not so fair, faint, or frilly, we present The Catholic Man Show.
And welcome to The Catholic Man Show. We are on the Lord's team, the winning side. So raise your glass. I'm Adam Minahan here sitting with David Niles to my left here at beautiful God's Country in Stillwater, Oklahoma at St. Francis Xavier. Yeah. Because he will lead you by Stillwater.
Psalm 23.
There it is.
God's Word.
Father Brian O'Brien is back with us on the Catholic Man Show today.
What a joy. Always a joy.
Is this number five for you?
I don't, maybe.
It may be.
Does that
may,
get me special privileges?
It's like, the Saturday Night Live, whenever you hit the eight-time club or something like that. I think you're the highest. I think you're a five-time club now.
Wow.
All right.
Your show's not very good. You guys need to expand your horizons a little bit.
We also have another special guest. Dave, I'll let you introduce.
Okay, so we have Mr. Gary Calcagno. Did I say that?
Right.
I say that right? Okay.
Perfect.
So you are the strength and conditioning coach here at Oklahoma State University.
Assistant, yes, sir.
Assistant.
Yeah, Rob.
I promise I will not say anything bad. I do not want to arm wrestle this dude.
Well, that's why I put you
in
over
between.
There.
Yeah, you're smart. You're smart, dude.
I've got a buffer.
Yeah.
I don't allow him. He's not allowed to sit in the front row at Mass.
Just intimidation factor?
He's got to sit towards the back.
Which I do.
See? I told you.
So we're good.
So what sports do you work for?
Football and wrestling.
Right
yes.
On. Right on.
Yep. The two manly sports.
Yeah, those are your
I have the best two. And I'm not just saying that because Coach Smith and Zach Esposito are here. It's fact, so.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean,
can I give you a good fact about Oklahoma State wrestling?
Yes, yeah. I'd love it.
Oklahoma State wrestling is the most successful college sports program of any college at any level in the country.
Yes.
Ever
in history.
Take that.
Boom.
More national championships.
Led by
it's true.
Coach John Smith.
There we go.
Yes.
Okay, so
amazing.
We had somebody give us this bottle of liquor.
Yeah, would you want to, are we allowed to say his name?
Well, so we have a parishioner here. He was at like a auction or something, and I don't know the whole story, but he came home with a pretty dang expensive bottle of tequila called Herradura, double barrel reposado. I don't know what that means. I speak Spanish, and I don't know
is
what that
Ed?
Means.
Is this Ed?
It was Ed, yeah, yeah. So this is, it's. I just know it came in a pretty serious box.
It is a nice box. You know what? I like
I think
a
the
nice,
box is worth
nice box.
I like the glasses.
Thank you. You know
well,
what
the
these
glasses are? Yeah, these are the Catholic Man Show
Glencairn
glasses.
Yes. They're so actually made for whiskey.
This is serious.
But they also work for tequila.
Really, they work for all spirits,
sipping,
really.
Sipping yeah.
The box. The box says it's the finest handcrafted tequila in the world.
And, you know, there's a law against marketing things that aren't true. So,
so you know it's true.
That's against the law. I mean, they can't do that unless it's not
So here
real.
It says, every bottle of Double Barrel Reposado begins with 100% Blue Weber agave.
And that's like as much as you can get. 100%.
And is rested in toasted oak barrels for 11 months, creating a smooth and inviting tequila.
Which is very important when it comes to tequila.
It's then matured for an additional month in a new toasted oak barrel. The second barrel is handmade especially for this extra aging.
Nice.
Wow.
I have no idea.
Okay, so we're going to cheers, and then, gentlemen, you can come up as well and try that as
it, just
if you
pass
want.
It around.
Yeah, there we go. we're on the Lord's team.
The winning side.
So raise your glass.
Cheers.
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 Jesus.
Cheers. Go Pokes.
Go Pokes.
Go Pokes. Yeah.
What are your thoughts?
Smooth and inviting.
Smooth and inviting. Man.
It's hard to drink with the microphone.
Yeah, you have to.
You can
lower it a little bit. Yeah. Do you get a little bit of coconut in here?
Well, this is the part of the show where Adam and Dave
deceive me.
Where Adam and Dave pretend to taste things that aren't really in the liquor.
Oh, they're there. Oh,
coconut,
cocoa nuts. Yeah, I believe so.
I'm looking at the box.
It's interesting that there's.
What do you think? Because you're the guy, the tasting guy.
I'm the tasting guy.
Yeah,
I do get a little bit of a coconut. I get more honey. And then I also, you can tell it's in that charred oak barrels because it does have this oaky aftertaste to it, which is unique for tequila. You normally don't get the char taste at the end.
It's pretty good.
When I drink this, I don't think tequila.
Yeah, I don't either. And I'm not a big tequila guy in general, but if you're sipping on something like this, is much different than if you go down to the strip.
Is that an oxymoron? People sip on tequila, like you just take shots.
Well, that's what I was about to say. It's much different than going to the strip.
You beat
yeah,
me.
Hitting Murphy's, yeah. Yeah.
My experience with tequila is not one of refined spirits.
No.
It's
no.
Father, but you listen to the
he's
show
still
quite
reading the box.
I know, he's still reading. Trying
it's
to,
fascinating.
But, Father, you listen to the show quite a bit, and it's interesting, about every 3 months or so, we get about 10 emails on why we're drinking on the show.
And since, some people would say, what kind of a show is this?
Yeah, so since you listened to the show and you've heard us say it before, why don't you tell everybody why we're drinking on the show?
Well, this is a good example. I mean, we just had like a sip of, you know, of alcohol and we're still alive.
Yes.
So I think a lot of times...
So that's a good thing.
I think people think that there's the mentality that if you're drinking, then you're drinking to excess. And I think you guys actually do a really good job of making kind of drinking or anything kind of in moderation what it should be. It's meant to be done for enjoyment. It's something that God has given us. And so, you know, if you guys were on the air every week slamming down shots of tequila and...
It would make a terrible podcast.
Welcome back to the Catholic
or a
Man
great
Show.
One. If every show you guys drank a six-pack or something... But you don't. You know, you have a drink. Mm-hmm. And now there are people in the world for that. That's too much.
Sure.
Right. They
yeah.
can't.
Moderation
can't
looks different for everybody.
But I think you guys do a real good example of, of kind of showing that things can be done in moderation.
Yeah. I think there's something very similar. Sharing a meal with somebody, you really get to know them in a new way. That's, you know, part of the reason that we're all here today is let's come together, share a meal, have fellowship. Having a drink together, I think, really is very similar, can achieve that same effect. Also, there's something about having just the right amount of alcohol that really opens up a conversation. You know, you kind of bear your soul in a new way, especially if you're with friends, you know, not with someone brand new, but it just... is a good combination. If you have a nice pipe and a cigar, a good glass of whiskey or tequila, you've got all the ingredients for an excellent conversation.
And good food.
And good food.
We just had awesome tacos.
Yeah.
Delicious street tacos. Yes. But, you know, I think G.K. Chesterton said one time, you should drink when you don't have to. Which is a good...
That's a good point.
A good point. You know, you shouldn't drink whenever you're in sorrow. You shouldn't drink in excess whenever, you're in celebration and get dry. The drink should be there not because you have to be drinking, but just because you're enjoying the finer things that God has provided us in this life to sip on and to enjoy for its goodness.
Coach Gary, what are the physical effects of alcohol?
Not great.
What do you tell your student athletes? Guys who are obviously, if they're under 21, they should avoid it.
If they're of age, I mean, because they're going to find their way to it. So I just always say, make sure you're safe. If you're going to go out, make sure you Uber home and do everything in moderation, because we're silly to act like 21, 22-year-old, 23-year-olds in college are not going to do it. That's silly.
Right. So. Yeah, and that's the importance of learning the virtuous life, right? The virtuous life is doing the good over and over and over again. So in order to only be able to have that virtuous life, you have to be able to practice it. So that moderation comes through the practice of having a glass and being able to walk away.
I agree.
Can you tell, though, in the weight room when a guy's been had too much? What does that look like the next morning at 6 a.m.?
Well, either.
What time are workouts?
6:30. Oh, either they're fine, and wrestling's normally at 7, but either they're finding the nearest trash can or you can smell it.
Just oozing out of their pores.
I will say, we had a guy that was an unbelievable talent here, unanimous All-American, National Award winner, and this morning, Cowboy football, we run stadiums at 6:30 and then we lift at 7:30, and he was always in my group and you could smell him. But he was the first guy done with stadiums, and he would smash the workout. And he got drafted in the first round. Unfortunately, he found his way out of the NFL just as quick. But you could sort of kind of see it coming, because it was what we're talking about. He didn't do it in moderation.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, he lacked the good habits.
Exactly.
Yeah. And one of the things St. Thomas talks about is that one virtue builds another. So, and the same is true with a vice. So if you let a vice fester, next thing you know, you have new ones all
That's
of a sudden.
That's why a
multiply.
Lot of venial sins can open it up to mortal
right.
sin.
Yeah, exactly. But the same is true with virtues. You have one virtue, you have a lot.
And we're going loud because we like to party. Yep, there we go. Just want to make sure you guys are awake. Oh, man. We can do some feats of strength in between breaks. We'll do that. We'll be right back. We're on the Lord's team.
The winning side.
So raise your glass.
Welcome back to the Catholic Man Show. I'm David Niles. Here in Stillwater with Adam Minahan, Gary Calcagno, and Father Brian O'Brien. We're having a good time. I'm really enjoying this tequila.
Herradura.
It is delicious.
So you said there was coconut. It says it has a notes of cooked agave, dried fruits, and sweet brown spice.
Sweet brown spice.
I don't know what that is, but...
The YouTube sensation.
And then they're each... it's labeled. It has the bottle. It's labeled.
Yeah, what is it? Bottle 1...
Bottle 177.
177.
Like
that's a good number.
That's a good number.
It's pretty good.
Okay, so the man gear for today is a gym membership. I know it's like hard to really put your hands on a gym membership, but I have this key fob.
They give
you
a card.
Yeah.
So it's legit. Yeah. It's legit. After college, I had still not mastered the virtue of moderation or temperance.
What?
I know. Hard to believe.
Yeah.
But I started working in an office, did a lot of sitting throughout the day. Really nice.
Air-conditioned.
Good. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Big time. Mm-hmm. And I started to put on a little weight. And I realized, well, I either have to drink less beer or I need to start working out. And so, to me, the
clear, obvious answer.
An obvious choice to
gym
start
membership.
To start working out. Gym membership, okay? Mm-hmm. And it worked for a long time. And then I was like, well, I'm just drinking. I just need to drink less beer. It's not no beer. It's just less beer. By God's grace, he taught me that lesson in many, many different ways.
It gave you a lot of opportunities.
Yeah, a lot of opportunities.
Yeah.
But there's a lot of reasons why. You don't have to have a gym membership, but that's just what we're talking about today. You could go running. I mean, there's a lot of things that a man could do to maintain physical well-being.
Right. And there's a lot of crossover between the physical and the spiritual life. It's let me tell you this story. My dad has worked out for his
he's
whole
huge.
Life. He's a big man.
Yeah, he's
and,
huge.
It's really interesting, though, Coach, whenever you go and you watch him lift weights. Because, I mean, he's a big man. And so he picks up these, like, 25, 30-pound dumbbells, and he's sitting here curling. And one day, I go over to him, and I'm like, Dad, like, I can do 25, 30-pound dumbbells. What are you doing curling that much? You know, what about the 50 or 60 pounds, 70 pounds? And he goes, well, I do 33 reps, one for every year of Christ's life. That way it keeps me reminded that I'm supposed to be... you know, both physical and spiritual. So he said, so everything he does in the gym is 33 reps. How cool is that?
That's awesome.
That was way, way deeper than I was anticipating his answer going to be.
I
thought it was going to be like an old man answer, like, oh, my joints or something like that. But no.
That's what I would use.
Yeah.
I like the gym membership deal for this aspect too. A lot of times, if somebody writes a check for something or they swipe their credit card, they're more apt to hold themselves to, you know, okay, I need to get out of bed and get up and go to the gym.
Right, because it's costing me money.
It's costing me money. Where years ago, a bunch of my friends that are coaches were like, oh, I'm going to get this, you know, high-powered treadmill for my work office. That thing is where they just lay stuff.
That's a clothes hanger.
Exactly.
Right. Yeah.
And that's the deal. It's like when
it.
You come home, you don't want to do that. So
right.
Get up and go somewhere that you're paying for a membership to is a lot of times more advantageous to keep you going.
Yeah.
I think.
Coach, do you think there's a best time of day to work out?
The morning.
In the morning.
Yep. Salinas, you are all day. Once you get up and kind of get going, because you haven't eaten anything, your body is ready to start burning through all your readily available energy sources, and you can start into your stored fat a lot quicker.
Yeah.
So once, if it's after work or later in the afternoon, it's a lot more difficult. And most old school bodybuilders will tell you they would, you know, they work out multiple times a day, but they would get up and do their first cardio session first thing in the morning. They'd roll right out of bed and go right to the gym and get on the treadmill or exercise bike or whatever it would be. So yeah, morning is the best time for that.
Yeah, I believe it also spikes your metabolism,
nope.
And then it stays up, you know, throughout the day.
My buddy always says it keeps the furnace burning, and
yeah.
that starts it early, so where it continues throughout the day. That's exactly right. So.
And there's a lot. The reason why we're picking this today is because there's so much overlap between working out and the spiritual life.
Mm-hmm.
The first thing you should do in the morning also is pray.
Absolutely.
As soon as you get out of
bed. Is
that
right?
Yeah, you should. You should do it. You should, Father, you should try it.
That's good.
Yeah.
A divine office.
That's good.
Check it out.
Why have you been holding out on this?
Check it out.
Dang, that's a good idea.
Just nuggets of wisdom here on the Catholic Man Show.
Dang. I mean,
I learned something new every day.
Write that down.
Yeah.
Make sure to write that down.
Yeah.
Especially with Pentecost. Oh, man.
Yeah.
You know? Come Holy Spirit.
Well, I've been reading the novena every morning.
Oh, yeah. We've been doing here at the parish a little Pentecost.
Yeah.
Novena.
It's on my phone,
it's
so
a big
I saved
one.
It.
It's a big one.
Bam.
Yeah.
It's awesome.
But also, working out, if you really want to get your bench press numbers higher, or whatever it is, you need a buddy.
Hold you accountable.
It's just really hard to get past the plateau if you don't have somebody to spot you. You know, you can't push yourself.
Or to yell at you.
Yeah, the yelling.
Yeah.
Coach, do you yell at people, don't you?
Yeah, and that's what part of what coaching is.
Surely not. No way.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah. Yeah.
Of course.
Well, Coach Smith told me that I couldn't yell at you.
Oh, really? He can yell at me. I deserve it.
I've been working on my low-level single legs, though. We'll talk to him later. No, but there's the importance also of strength under control, because you can see a lot of guys, you know, who get to the weight, you know, to the gym, and they're all over the place. You can tell they're just – they don't have no control over it. And actually, a very good definition of strength under control is meekness, which is a virtue as well. But maybe talk about the importance of being under control while working out.
I think you're exactly right that most people, once they kind of get going and they get the bug, then it's I'm all in. And then once they're all in and they start going a little bit heavier and they're not ready for it or they're a little bit out of their comfort zone, that's when you start to tweak something. And especially when you get older, and I never thought I'd say this, but, you know, when I was in my 20s and, you know, I was – just lifting every second, my mom would always say, "You need to slow down. Your little body's not made for all those muscles." And I was like, "Oh my gosh, you know, come on,
mom,
you know, and really, you know, you're gonna have arthritis when you get at my age." And guess what? I mean, so
moms are smart.
Yes. So if just everything in moderation, just go in. Now I just go in and I get a pump, and I will still have to fire my bicep up real quick on a guy if they get lippy in the weight room, just to let them know.
What does that look like?
But I'm not on the receiving end of that.
Tell us more about that.
But, you know, that's it, just that way you stay safe. You're handling weights that you can handle.
Yeah.
And it's just, like you said, everything in moderation to where you can continue and your consistency is there. The consistency is the key, in my opinion.
Well, and I think pride can step into. You know, you're in a weight room, there's a bunch of dudes around or there's pretty girls, and you're like, oh, I got to. You know, and then you try to put up too much, and you're.
Mm-hmm. I have to deal with the dude thing way every day, all day.
I mean, they're all trying to impress each other, and
not necessarily
or their coaches.
Yeah,
even.
You just gotta it. It's a testosterone fest. There's no doubt.
Well, it's pride. I mean, pride seeps in, and you want to impress, or you want to get on the field, and you're not playing right now. And,
that's right.
And if I just
you want to stay on the field, or you want to go to the next level, yeah, there's levels of it for sure.
Mike Tyson actually says that he no longer works out at all at the gym because the moment that he starts lifting weights again or maybe hits the bag, the pride sets in. He starts thinking about, look how good I'm doing. Look how good I am. Even at my age, look how good I am. And so he knows if he jumps in there and starts doing that, ego will set in.
Wow.
I heard that on an interview, which is pretty cool.
Wow.
Yeah. To know yourself that
right.
way.
Yeah, that's an important thing to know about yourself.
Who knew that Mike Tyson was such a model of virtue?
Well, just that moment would be. We all have our moments.
Anybody can learn.
We should have him on the show. Dang.
Yeah. We'll work on it.
I don't usually associate him with
virtue.
Yeah. I don't know him. I don't want to judge. I don't.
Yeah. But, you know, working out, you've got your buddy. Is to me, it's just like trying to grow in virtue, because you in the virtuous life, you need that guy who's going to hold you accountable. Who's, you know, just like
I'm looking for a new guy. By the way, we've been best friends for like 30 years, so I'm looking for taking new applications for best friends.
You guys work out together?
No, he can't keep up.
No, I just can't keep up with him.
I get tired of changing the weights.
No, so yeah. I don't actually back and forth. There's 45-pound weights.
That was good.
Yeah.
But he's been boxing.
Yeah, so I...
And your kids, are you teaching your kids to box?
Yeah, I am. So lifting weights was never the end for me growing up. You know, I was a football wrestler and I ran track, so weights for me was always not the end. It was a means to an end. And after I got out of college and I wasn't playing sports anymore, I realized weights aren't just doing it for me. So I had to do something that was competitive. So I started boxing, and that's why actually I have a little bit.
I was actually looking at
a little bit of a shiner. Let me tell you something.
Look, he lipped off to his wife.
No, okay. No, that's not true.
Did your son hit you?
No, I was sparring with this dude, and he's been boxing for 20 years, so he's pretty solid.
Was it Mike Tyson?
No, but that'd be I would never step in the ring with him. No, but I did a really good job of stopping his left hook with my face, and I just stopped it right stone cold. And
good strategy. But
there was there's repercussions to doing that, which is a shiner.
It's
so
it's a good one.
But it also does push you as a competitive person. Doing something physical keeps pushing you and keeps you active, keeps you motivated. I've noticed that it's carried over into my spiritual life as well. So
go to the gym.
Yeah.
I'm going to the gym tomorrow with Coach Calcagno.
All right.
Nice.
Boom.
You're going to be sore.
We'll be right back. Welcome back to the Catholic Man Show here in beautiful Stillwater, Oklahoma, St. Francis Xavier. I'm excited about our topic today because I think that a lot of men are either going through this process, currently have gone through this process, or will be going through this process.
Yeah.
And as a man who is, as a spiritual leader of the family, you know, you're the protector, the provider, the establisher. In order to fulfill those obligations, you know, our main goal is to get ourselves and our family to heaven. And there's no salvation outside the church, as the Catholic Church teaches. And so as
it correctly teaches.
As it correctly teaches. Everything the Catholic Church teaches is correct, though.
Yes.
So that would, I don't know if you have to say that.
Are you wavering on that, Dave?
Well, I was just trying to, like...
He always tries to correct me.
Is there a caveat to that? You know, like...
We could change the name of the show if you need to.
Yeah.
The Unitarian Man Show?
Oh, that'd be, I did. Where we talk about nothing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Never mind.
Good try.
I did not correct it. No.
Okay. So my wife went through the RCIA process. Your wife is currently going through it?
Yeah, just started... Right now, she actually, I've kind of been through this twice with, my mom was a convert. Mm. My dad was actually in the seminary three different times. Thankfully, no offense, Father. Thankfully, he did not go through with it. And then met my mom, and she was Methodist, and kind of did the same thing, just kind of let her find her way. And I think he dropped on her, whatever you want to do, that's fine, but my kids will be raised Catholic. I think he threw that in there at one point, but she wanted to do it. So then I talked to my mom a little bit about it when I got married, and I got married later in life, and I knew that's what I wanted, but I didn't want to push. And so she said, just let her kind of find her way. And I'm going to give him and Father Carey props. We got married under Father Ken Harder, and we love Father Ken. But then when she started really going to Mass with me, she got to listen to either Father Carey at St. John's before this was built, and then after this was built, Father O'Brien. And just the dynamic speaking, and she was drawn to it, to where she took something away from it. And then we went to Coach Smith's father's funeral at the Catholic Church in Del City, and we're on our way home, and she said, I want to be Catholic. And I was like, wow, okay. So then I didn't really put two and two together until she told Coach Smith. It was at the funeral, listening to Father Stewart and everybody talk about his father, that she was like, wow, that's what I want to be a part of. And so,
what a witness!
Praise God!
That's awesome.
I was like, man, that's awesome.
Yeah.
And then she said something to Coach first, and I'm sitting there going, "Oh,
say
that's
what
she told you." Yeah, that was the catalyst.
She told Coach Smith before you?
No, on the way home, she said, "I want to be Catholic."
Oh, okay.
But my wife's just super checking. Quiet, so she didn't really elaborate, and I don't push her because, you know, you never know.
Yeah.
So I just kept driving.
Smart man.
But you weren't expecting that.
I was not. And then probably two or three days later, he came into the office, or we were somewhere, and she said to Coach Smith, that actually made me want to be Catholic. And I said something to Gary about it, and I was like, oh, wow, okay. So then I called Father O'Brien, and we started getting the process rolling. So.
There's like a party in heaven going on. They're all like high-fiving each other.
Yeah.
Well, I was excited too because, like I told him, I'm a cradle Catholic. My mom actually was my RCIA teacher, not very good because we were all rowdy.
It wasn't your mom.
Yeah.
It was you.
It was you.
Okay.
Yeah.
Distinctions.
And, yeah.
Did you, you just dissed your mom.
I did.
Live radio.
She does not.
You told us she has some guns.
Yeah.
That's not a good idea.
Right. But she doesn't listen to podcasts. She can barely, she can barely get the Dish Network on. So. But that's, you know, I'm excited for myself going through with her to a certain extent, even though I'm not her sponsor, but just for my own learning.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
Yeah, I think that it, as guys, we're always wanting to fix the problem. At least that's, I always want to fix the problem. When there's something that I come home and my wife seems like she, the kids are driving her crazy, it's like, okay, I'm going to fix the problem. Luke over here, Jude over here, Anna over here,
yep.
Separate, you know, because otherwise they get together, man. It's trouble. So separate them all out, try to fix the problem. But through the spiritual process, as a man, you can't always fix the problem because it's not you that's doing it. It's the Holy Spirit, right? The Holy Spirit's the one that's converting. But you're being the catalyst to help push that along. But as a guy, especially if you start knowing your faith and you're maybe even strong in apologetics, you're trying to answer all of her questions. You want to answer the right questions, you know, and make sure you lead her this way. And most of the time, she just wants you to listen.
Right.
You know, and that's really hard, I think,
or
at least for
not
us.
Not only just to listen, to watch. And I always, or I would try to always go to Mass. So she, I'd be like, do you want to go to Mass with me? No, that's okay. Or maybe the next, you know, that night I'd say, hey, you know, what time do you want to go if you want to go? And she may the next morning say, I don't want to go. Well, I always went. And she saw that. Plus, there's a lot of Catholics in the athletic department. I mean, maybe that's why Oklahoma State wins so many games. I don't know.
Yeah.
But we have a lot.
No doubt.
We have a lot of Catholics in the athletic department. We do. So she sees, when she goes to Mass, she sees people that she knows and has been around. And,
yeah.
And so, you know, I think that's
super important to live your faith.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I heard a great line from this is a priest who was talking about like people who have left the faith. So a lot of older folks, their adult children maybe have left the Catholic faith for something else or for nothing, and who's kind of giving advice. But I think it also applies to spouses. And he said what our kids who have left the church, what they need is light, not heat. Light, not heat. Mm-hmm. And I think that's good advice for spouses. If you're constantly just like pressuring and you've got to do this, and so in some cases they might go through the process, but their heart's not in it. Mm. They're not converted,
right?
Even though they went through, you know, step by step. Basically, I think sometimes it happens to, okay, get off my back. What do I have to do to get you to stop bothering me?
Mm-hmm.
Which doesn't work. That's not a long term.
Right.
And so giving them light, showing them, like Coach was talking about, of him going even when she didn't go.
Mm-hmm.
And then she would see, okay, well, that's really important to him. He's going to leave home, go to Mass, and then come home. That's so important to him. And she saw that year after year after year after year, and it eventually had that effect on her.
And I thought you made a good point the first meeting we had about the Catholic faith is not super inviting to someone that's not Catholic.
Well, in the Mass especially.
Yeah, the Mass.
Yeah.
And so it's, she was a little taken aback by the knowing what to say. And I told her one time, I'm like, I don't have it memorized. I did before they changed it, but now I don't. So, and I was an altar boy, for goodness sake. I mean, I had it all memorized, but now I just follow along. And I think once she kind of got past that aspect of it too, then she realized, oh, you don't have to have it all memorized.
Right.
Then that was helpful as well.
It can be. I mean, yeah, if you come to Mass just for the first time out of nowhere, it's not particularly inviting.
Uh-huh.
It's a, you know, yeah. Right out of the gate, in the name of the Father and of the Son, everybody knows what to do. And you're like, whoa,
yeah.
What kind of a cult is this, you know? And then everybody seems to know what to sing and when to stand and when
I felt the exact same way when I attended my first Latin Mass.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
me
too.
I finished that Mass and they said, well, what did you think? And I go, well, now I know what Protestants feel like when they walk into Mass, because I have no idea what you guys,
yeah.
You know. I mean, I knew what was happening, but I had no idea when to sit, stand, talk, you know.
Yeah, I mean, it's a different,
it's different.
A different experience, yeah.
So I can definitely understand the confusion and, like, man, everybody,
yeah.
I'm outside the club. Mm-hmm. Everybody else knows what they're doing and I don't.
And, you know, all of these things that we're talking about, they apply to, you know, your spouse if she's not Catholic, but or really any member of your family, a brother, a child, a cousin. I mean, just Jesus said a prophet has no honor in his own home. Is that what it was? In his own home?
In his native place.
Native place. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that's true. Sometimes you just are not the one who's going to be able to give logical arguments to convert somebody to get mm-hmm. just because there's too much background between you and this person. Mm-hmm. There's too much on the line as far as your relationship goes. So I just think it needs to be said that if you have someone like this, you should be praying that God sends someone else into their lives that can be that person who can give them those arguments, and then they will hear them and accept them because they might not accept them from you. But it doesn't matter who it is, wife,
right.
child, even close friends.
Well, and that's the importance, I think, of belonging to a parish
and
making connections in the parish so that you have, you know, you have friends over and you have neighbors over, and it exposes them to Catholics other than you. Mm-hmm. And you may be the best Catholic in the world, but also especially with the spouse, they know your bad habits mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. and they know that you're far from perfect. And so that could even be a block of like, well, you're a Catholic and
look what you do.
You kind of stink at it. You know, I mean, and so to bring other people in, I mean, I think that was your wife's of seeing other people in the OSU athletic department that it kind of inspired her.
Yeah. And Ed and Amy, you know, we get to be friends with Ed and Amy, and that was a big deal too, to where she was like, oh my gosh, they're the sweetest people ever. I mean, it was one of those deals where you could kind of feel that she was being pulled.
Yeah, that good example. It goes a long way.
Importance of true friendships as well.
Yeah.
We'll pick this up right on the other side of the break. We're on the Lord's team.
The winning side.
So raise your glass.
Welcome back to the Catholic Man Show. I'm David Niles.
You are David Niles.
I'm David Niles.
Thanks be to God for that, David.
Yeah.
Oh, every day. Every day, all the time. Here with Adam Minahan, Coach Gary Calcagno. I'm really glad you have that name tag on because
I always need it for your last name.
Just call him Coach.
Coach, yeah. Coach Gary.
Yeah.
Gare Bear over here.
Yeah. You get beat up.
That's why I'm in the middle.
And Father Brian O'Brien. Thanks for
co-host of the Pastors of Pain. Go check it out.
Oh,
the podcast.
Pastors of Pain.
There you go.
We're having a good time.
Yeah.
You wanna just give a brief?
Yeah, we have here in Payne County, we've got Father Kerry Wakulich from St. John Catholic Student Center. We started about a year ago doing a little podcast, and we're really kind of, you know, you guys are national. We're just focused. We just want to evangelize Payne County. And so we talk about, you know, stuff happening in Payne County and stuff at our parishes. And we know some people listen outside of Payne County, but we're kind of just keeping it local.
It's awesome.
Just trying to
very Chestertonian
evangelize our little corner of the heaven. Diocese of Tulsa, of heaven,
of
God's
heaven.
Country.
Yes, absolutely.
It's a very energetic show.
We like it.
Yes.
It's 29 and a half minutes.
Jam-packed.
We kind of cover different topics. Uh-huh. Kind of a lot of liturgical stuff, whatever's coming up in the liturgical year. Things going on in Payne County. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. College students, you know.
Sweet.
It's a good time. Check it out.
So we're talking about if your wife is going through RCIA or thinking about going through RCIA. Father, let me ask you this. If they're going through RCIA, how important is it for the husband to join RCIA to go with them to the
huge,
class?
Huge. So I think, you know, to go for anybody to just walk into RCIA, which stands for the Rite of Christian Initiation of Adults. And it varies from parish to parish of kind of how that's all set up. But to go by yourself into that room where you don't know anybody, you don't know anything and you don't know anybody, is hard. And so to be able to go, you know, I think in Coach's case, like that he knows a lot of people here and she knows a lot of people here, but that he's with her sitting right next to her. And then I think what most people will find is you, as a Catholic, even if you've been Catholic your whole life, you do not know as much as you think you do. And so you hear so many people who go through RCIA with a spouse or a girlfriend or whatever, and they say, man, I learned more than she did. And so it's good for you, it's good for her, and it's good for you as a couple.
Yeah, before I was married, I used to sponsor people going through RCIA, and every time I would go through it, like, man, I did not know that. And, sometimes it would make me mad because I'm a cradle Catholic. I went to Catholic schools, grade school,
like, why didn't
Catholic
I learn
high
that?
School. It's like, how come nobody ever told me that? That's incredible.
They probably did, and you weren't listening.
Well, that's okay. True.
He has super ADD, so he probably really wasn't listening.
The first time I learned about the fourth cup, if you don't know what the fourth cup is, you owe yourself
Google.
A Google search.
Fourth cup, Scott Hahn.
Yes. Mm-hmm. It absolutely blew my mind.
Yeah.
And I remember
being so
mad.
But imagine them trying to present the fourth cup when you're in fifth grade.
Yeah. It would have been a more mature topic than that. But anyway.
So I think it is. It's super important to walk through that. You know, and I think in different parishes do it different ways where, like, here we don't really – we don't encourage the spouse to be the sponsor.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it's not because we're opposed to it. If somebody was really insistent upon it, we'd probably do it. But we see that the idea of a sponsor – it's like the spouse is already a sponsor.
Right. Mm-hmm.
I mean, you live with them, and
you took the vows
you're in
already.
Love, and yeah, and so let's bring in a third person, not to get in the way, but to be a connection to mm-hmm. the parish, because mm-hmm. I think so often what happens is somebody goes through RCIA, they become Catholic, but then even then they sometimes will drift, because even though they know it all or they know what they should know, they're not connected to the parish, and so they come to Mass by themselves. Or they come with their spouse and they don't really know anybody. And so that sponsor is just another avenue of connection to the community of the parish that so often can really feed someone's faith after the fire has kind of gone out. I mean, we this happens to all of us where we're super excited. I'm a new Catholic and yeah, this is great. You know, and then 6 months later, the fire kind of goes out or it goes down mm-hmm. a little bit. You're off that kind of retreat high or mm-hmm. the workout high, you know. And so that you're connected to the parish to be able to fill you back up.
Yeah, totally. One of the things that Coach Gary said in this last segment that reminded me, Dave and I gave a talk one time, and one of the questions after the talk was, hey, my kid no longer goes to Mass. I raised him right. You know, I took him to Mass every time. They no longer go to Mass. What do I do? And it also, you can interchange that with my wife. You know, my wife left the faith. You know, I'm still going to Mass. What do I do? And I remember thinking, like, Dave, you want to take this question? Like, because I don't really know what to do. But Dave, he gave a great answer. Here's what he said. He said, it is so important for you to become the holiest person that you can become right now, because you have to be the best example of the Catholic faith, because it may be the only example that they have. So if you have a wife who may not be joining the Catholic faith right now or opposed even to the Catholic faith, it is so important for us men to be the holiest person that we can become, so that way they can see the love of Christ shining through us, like you were saying, bringing the light, not the heat, so that way it is attractive, because holiness is attractive. That's why we had millions and millions of people showing up for John Paul II's canonization, and there's only like a few hundred thousand that are going to rock band concerts. You know, the holiness is so attractive.
And the opposite side of that, hypocrisy is incredibly off-putting.
Right.
And so if we're hypocrites, if we're not living the gospel, then people are going to see that, and it's going to make them turn away.
Yeah.
So how do you get holy?
So That leads to my next. What's your game plan? As you know, strength coach, you have to have game plans going into, like, okay, if I'm going to build up my biceps, if I'm going to build up my
holiness game plan.
What's your holiness game plan for your wife coming into the church?
I think kind of staying on the same thing I've been doing is doing myself, which is I'm going to go because I get something out of it. And what you just said about trying to be the best Catholic that I can be and bring her along and not be pushy, but be terribly supportive. And then I think, too, whether it's Coach or Coach Littell or whoever it is in the parish, it's cool to be Catholic. I mean,
it's, yeah, it is.
It's the neat deal. And so I think she sees that. And like I said, with Ed and Amy are really cool, good people. I just think that just surround ourselves with like-minded people and it'll take care of itself. It has to this point.
You want your wife to become Catholic, introduce her to Ed and Amy. That's the key.
Their phone number is 405. Right.
Introduce them to good people. And that includes, I think, one of the blessings of being Catholic is not only the people that are currently with us on earth, but the saints. I mean, the crazy good example of all these people who have gone before.
Yeah.
You know, so if you're in athletics, right? Introduce them to
St. Sebastian,
John Paul II, who loved to ski and play soccer and all that. If they're a mother, introduce them to the great motherly saints. And
without sounding corny, Coach Smith's dad or my dad, I fully believe that my dad, who has passed away since 2003, has something to do with her.
Intercessory prayer is real, man.
No question about in my life that's been. I found her, and then because I was kind of laid back on pushing her into it, that he had something to do with it. It doesn't even have to be a saint. It could just be someone that I talk a lot about.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Yeah, the good example of the people in our lives.
Yeah.
But Gary, talk a little bit about just not being pushy. Because I think that's a mistake that a lot of men make with their wives, is they try to push them into it. And it's, religion is a very deep personal thing. Just talk a little bit about your attitude towards that.
And she was from kind of a heavy Pentecost family. And I think she told you about that.
We're not particularly fond of Catholics necessarily.
Bingo. And so I was like, oh, snap, I've got my work cut out for me. So she was already kind of going to a place here in town. And like the guy actually is a huge wrestling fan. So he was at every match, and I'd always see him around, and he would come do FCA sometimes for our football guys. So I was around him a lot as well. And I would even tell her, hey, you know, Sunday I'll go with you. You know, well, you know, okay. So yes, no. And so sometimes I would, and then sometimes she would come with me, and I kind of it was like soft toss. I would just loft it up, and if she hit it, great. If not, then I would do my deal if she didn't really launch into it. And I talked to my mom about it once, and she said, just let her find her way. And she did. So.
And I think we can't underestimate the importance of prayer and fasting for our wives. You know, we can take this from St. Monica, who prayed and fasted for 30 years before St. Augustine came into the church. Now he's a doctor of the church. You know, as men, we're supposed to be the spiritual leaders of our family. And the only way that we're going to be able to do that is for your wives to see you on your knees praying. The first Wednesday of every month, there's a e5men.org. There's a group of Catholic men, or actually Christian men in general, who fast on bread and water alone for the full day on Wednesdays, specifically for their wives.
Yeah. Wow.
And if you want to show what sacrificial love looks like, just try to
eat
bread and water.
I've got another quick story. My wife's grandmother had four son-in-laws. None of them were Catholic. She loved candy. She said, I will never eat candy again until all of you have converted. She died before a single one. Now three out of four of them are Catholic.
And still no candy.
She's
getting better than candy now, I'll tell you what.
Hey, Coach, thanks so much for being with
us
today.
It was
so much fun. Father, thank you so much.
Guys, thanks for coming to Stillwater.
We're on the Lord's team.
The winning side.
So raise your glass.
And cheers to Jesus.
I'm Father Dwight Longenecker. I'd like to invite you to join me for a pilgrimage tour to France this September. It's based on my book, St. Benedict and St. Therese, The Little Rule and the Little Way. I'll be teaching about the spiritualities and the lives of these two great saints, and we'll be visiting the great monastery of Fleury, where St. Benedict's relics are venerated, and of course going to Lisieux to visit the childhood home of St. Therese, the Carmel, where she was a nun, and the great basilica dedicated to her honor. But there's more than that. At Paris, we'll be visiting the Basilica of Sacré-Cœur, Rue de Bac with the Miraculous Medal, going on to Vézelay, Nevers with St. Bernadette, Paray-le-Monial, where the devotion to the Sacred Heart of Jesus was given to St. Margaret Mary, and then Chartres Cathedral, Mont-Saint-Michel, the Normandy beaches, and more. I think there's not only going to be time for instruction and learning, but also prayer and worship, celebrating Mass in the various locations, and also time for fellowship and a good bit of French food and wine, too. Come and join us this September. If you'd like to know more, go to CatholicHeritageTours.com. That's CatholicHeritageTours.com, or be in touch with me through my website, DwightLongenecker.com.
Breadbox Media Programming is brought to you by Jack Kane Ford. Find your next Ford Tough vehicle at KaneFord.com.